De Heer is mijn herder. Dat is de prekenserie waar het vandaag over gaat in de Crystal Cathedral. En ik hoop dat je op deze vroege zondagmorgen heel veel uit die meest gelezen, meest bekende psalm ter wereld haalt. Overigens uit het meest gelezen boek, de Bijbel. En dominee Schuller zal er veel over vertellen en gaat door diepe dalen als het gaat over de vraag: wie ben ik en waarom leef ik? In deze uitzending van Hour of Power, die wereldwijd bekeken wordt door 40 miljoen mensen. En fijn dat u en jij er een van bent. Iedereen een hele fijne uitzending toegewenst vanuit zometeen de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
And welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. We are very glad you're here. Would you please take a moment right now and shake the hands of those who are standing beside you and around you and say, God loves you and so do I. We have the Columbine High School survivor, Crystal Woodman Miller. She's going to be sharing with us how God's guided and touched her life. We have the gifted singer-songwriter Josh Bates. We're really, really grateful to have a tremendous choir here, directed by Don Newman, of course. We have Sean Groobridge, the Hazel Wright organ. And, of course, we have Mark Riley and the Hour of Power Orchestra. So, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good, that you are gracious, that you are loving. And so open our hearts and our minds to receive the blessing that you have for us this very moment. We love you, Lord. Amen. Be seated. What a wonderful church this is. I'm so excited every Sunday to come here. This is one church that still uses beautiful poetry every Sunday morning. And we just sang one of those poems, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, oppressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe." What a
What a great piece of poetry. And now, every Sunday morning, we read Scripture because we believe that the Bible is God's inspired word to us. It is a collection of the stories of human beings like you and me who lived and had experiences with God and wrote it down and left it for us to read. The great, great men of God. This morning we're reading a message that matches Robert's series of sermons on Psalm 23. He's speaking on face your fears with faith. Tremendous, tremendous message. And after the death of Moses, Joshua, who had to finish leading God's people through the desert, was scared. Now, if you don't know what I've just read, you should get into an adult class. Back of your morning program are a list of about a dozen Bible classes that meet. And I'll be skipping out of this service soon, like I did and will be doing more often, to teach one of these classes, the Becomers, this morning. I'll be going there and catching Bob's sermon the second hour. So listen to me. To these words, written by Joshua, here over 2,000 years later, we're reading them. Joshua writes, I was with Moses. Wow, what a claim. Big deal. Unbelievable. I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, this is just Moses talking. It's God talking through his lips, through his face to people. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with you every minute. You don't recognize him. You don't feel him. You don't know him, but you take it for granted, like you breathe air and you stay alive. You can't live without air and you can't live without God. Then God says, be strong and very courageous. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. God is still speaking. Meditate on these teachings day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it and live by it. Don't live by the culture. Don't live by what people say at the water cooler or what you read in the newspapers or the magazines. Start with this book. Next line. Then, if you do, you will be prosperous and successful. Look at this ministry. It is prosperous, starting with nothing. We needed money, and we are here today, and we are around the world. Will the people from outside of our country that run our ministry stand up? Some of you are down there. Yes, they've flown in for this week. Andrei Dalalenko from Russia, wave your hand. This John Townen, who runs all these ministries, raise your hand, John. Okay, who's here from Holland? Anybody? Yes, of course. Right. These are the people that run our ministries. We have an office not here alone, but we have one in Australia for over 25 years, in Canada for over 25 years, in Holland and in Germany and England, in Russia. We are prosperous and successful. Yes, thank you for standing. Have I not commanded you? I read these words 50 years ago. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word.
Time after time, you've been left behind, like the sun when it's starting to red. Time after time, you've been forgotten, like a picture that's faded with age. But time after time, you ran after me when I was still running away. But you never give up on me. No, you never give up on me. And though I'm weak, you're strong. You told me I still belong. As a way to do what I believe, I've taken for granted prayers that you answer. I've never been all I could be. You are holding out your hands, and now I clearly see that you never give up on me, Lord. You just as I am. Never give up on me. No, you never give up on me. Though I'm weak, you're strong. You told me I still belong. But you never, never give up on me.
Columbine in Colorado, when two students started shooting and killing one after another. And my guest this morning was next to be shot, and she heard the man say to his buddy, "We're out of ammunition." And that's why she's here. I remember going to Columbine shortly after the incident and walked a long muddy road to a hill. You know what I'm talking about? And up on that hill were how many crosses? Nine?
13.
Were there 13 people killed?
12 students and one teacher were killed 7 years ago at Columbine.
Wow. And those... behind me was a line of people, maybe a mile long, standing in line to look at those crosses and see the flowers. Mm-hmm. watched people cry. They prayed. Oh, tell us your memory.
Of course, that particular morning, I woke up as an ordinary 16-year-old girl with common 16-year-old thoughts, hair, makeup, wardrobe, a test I forgot to study for the night before, and of course, the deep yearning to belong, to be somebody, but that came at a very high price for me. I thought that it would fill the void, the drinking, the partying, the giving guys my heart time and time again. But on that day, I would discover just how wrong I was. When my friends and I chose to pass our lunch hour away in our school library, had been in there 5 minutes when we got word that there was guys with guns and bombs and they were shooting students. We got underneath of our table, and my friend turned to me and he said, "Crystal, I promise you that I will take a bullet for you." And at that moment, I said, "Okay, God, if you're real, if you are who people say you are, then get me out of here alive. My life is yours." And about that time, the boys came in, and their rampage lasted about 7.5 minutes. It felt like an eternity. And I figured that I would be their next victim. But as you mentioned, they ran out of ammunition right above my table, leaving our table the only one untouched.
And you heard them say, "We ran out of
ammunition." Absolutely. Recognizing that is potentially our only opportunity to escape, and so we did so. Of course, in the aftermath of the events proved to be some of the hardest, most difficult days of my life. And I even wished that I had been killed because the pain was far too overwhelming. Yet I continued to put my full trust in Jesus and into the hope giver himself. I decided to choose hope despite my circumstances. He showed up in amazing ways.
And your life changed.
Absolutely. It's changed everything. Of course, in the aftermath of the events, eyes have been opened. I want to go and I want to share with the world the hope of Jesus. This world is in desperate need of such news. Definitely been a defining moment in my life. It's sculpted a lot of who I am today. And what's amazing is that God has this amazing ability to take all the brokenness and all of the pain of our lives and bring about something beautiful for His glory. And that's exactly what going through Columbine has allowed me to you know, see and recognize in my own life.
Now, you've written this book. Where is your life taking you today? Where are you
at? I'm traveling, constantly speaking. I never would have imagined that at 23 I would have a book and I'd be going around the world and doing relief work and doing all these different things. But I couldn't be more excited about where my life is today. And it's just the testimony that God can take any ordinary person, any situation, even difficult circumstances, and do something amazing. And that we have the opportunity to impact this world for His glory.
God is in the business of changing people.
Yes.
How He changed you. How He's changing people here today. In many ways that we don't know about.
That's right.
When you go around speaking, what's the central message you want to give to people? Because you've got a few million people listening right now.
Of course.
And it's translated in German, Dutch, Chinese, Russian, Arabic. What? Give them a word.
My message is hope. Is regardless of your circumstances, whatever it is that you're going through, to choose Jesus, the hope giver himself, and he will begin to use your life and give you meaning and purpose even through the pain, and that there is hope, even if it's hiding behind the pains of our lives, but hope is a choice, and by choosing hope, we choose Jesus, and he will be faithful in our lives. He will not leave us or forsake us.
There are a lot of people that haven't chosen Jesus. You really didn't until you heard them say, "We're out of ammunition."
Absolutely.
Why don't people? I love him so much. Why don't people love him?
I think we get very caught up in the world, and the world tells us that we're defined by money and success and fame and wealth and all of these things, when really those things will pass away. They will, in the end, be gone, but Jesus is the only one who will remain. But I don't think people understand that, maybe until we are faced with the reality of our own death, perhaps.
Well, dear God, I'm going to give you a blessing.
Thank you.
Dear God, bless her where she needs the blessing most. You won't ask her because she'd guess wrong, but But you won't. You know her so well. Is it a memory? Is it a scar? Is it a hurt? Is it guilt? Jesus Christ, you died. And you're very much alive today. We're talking about you here. So bless her. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, it's hard to believe that it's been over a year since our beloved Johnny Carl passed, and we miss him. And he was one of the greatest musical arrangers the past 25 years and was recognized by great musicians around the world. In fact, mentioning the Pope, when the Pope came to America, it was Johnny Carl whom they chose to make arrangements for the special music. Beautiful CD. Excuse me. I was with him 30 years. This is the first CD of the best of Johnny Carl. And thanks to Linda, we're able to put it all together. And it's fantastic. And it enables us to give up an appropriate percentage of the revenue that this generates to Linda for her and her children. They need it. And I know you'll all want to send for a copy. Linda, Carl, come on up here. Great picture of Johnny from the Crystal Cathedral, the very best of Johnny Carl, the music he gave. It includes some of the best musicians that have sung here and performed here when Johnny did their arrangement. Gee, like Roger Williams, I know more than one of his records. He called upon Johnny to do the arranging.
Well, Dr. Schuller, I think it does honor to many of the people that are on the album because many of them were Johnny's closest personal friends. And they have been people who have supported us throughout this last year as well. They didn't just forget us because Johnny was gone. And you're right, Roger is on there, Tom Tipton, Ken Miedema, Mary Walsh Rogers.
John Tesh. These greatest musicians performing in the Crystal Cathedral, all arranged by the best of the arrangers, Johnny Carl, out for the first time in a CD. Now, dear God, thank you for the way you've helped Linda through the shocking news that came without warning. And how you have kept her alive. And bless their future there tomorrow. And dear God, let everybody that's hearing this write in and be able to hear Johnny's music and even help a little. Amen.
Thank you.
You've been launching, 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 launching,
En in Aufbouw Nederland praten we met Peter Noordhuis. Peter is de organisator van het Flevo Festival. Dat komt in augustus in Nederland. Het is een lange traditie. En als je afvraagt wat is dat en je bent jong, dan is dit misschien wat voor jou om van de zomer naartoe te gaan. Peter, goedemorgen. Fijn dat je er bent.
Goedemorgen.
Je bent de organisator van het Flevo Festival, maar je hebt een eigen bouwbedrijf gehad.
Ik had een bedrijf in de bouwsector. En daar heb ik een aantal jaar met heel veel plezier met de rest van de mensen aan het bedrijf kunnen bouwen. En kunnen
maar je
werken.
Hebt het zelf opgericht?
Ik heb het zelf opgericht, ja. Samen met een compagnon ben ik eraan begonnen in 2000. En daar heb ik gewoon 5 jaar lang met heel veel plezier aan kunnen werken. Het was een geweldig bedrijf, geweldig product ook. Dat had helemaal mijn hart. Ik vond het helemaal geweldig. Maar ik vroeg me wel af of dat was wat ik op termijn zou moeten blijven doen. En mijn vrouw concretiseert dat dan. En die vroeg aan mij, zullen we er samen voor gaan bidden? En dat vond ik wel een beetje eng, want dan moet je ook dingen loslaten.
Ja.
We hebben het wel gedaan en ik heb God gevraagd of hij mij dan ook wou ontmoedigen. Ik denk, dat doet hij toch niet. Maar als hij dat doet, is het wel zo duidelijk, dan kan ik er niet meer onderuit. En dat heeft hij gedaan. Dus een paar maanden later ben ik daarmee gestopt. Omdat ik merkte dat God echt aan me begon te trekken. Maar dat was heel onzeker, want ik stopte en daar was nog niks nieuws. En dat kun je niet altijd aan iedereen uitleggen. Maar voor mezelf was het op zich op dat moment nog wel duidelijk. Maar 2 maanden later was er nog niks en toen was het niet zo duidelijk. En dan vraag je je wel af, heb ik het allemaal goed begrepen? Of heb ik het zelf bedacht? Hoe
want jij
moet
had
nou
altijd,
ik
mag zomaar vragen, als ware een stem uit de hemel gehoord. Die zei van, stop met je bouwbedrijf, er komt wat anders.
In feite wel, ja. Daar komt het eigenlijk wel op neer. Ja. Ik heb God erom gevraagd, hè. Ontmoedig me maar. En hij deed dat.
Ja.
En mijn vrouw zei toen, nou moet je het ook doen.
Ja.
En toen heb ik dat gedaan. Maar dat was wel heel lastig. Want dan loop je wel s'avonds door je huis heen. En dan denk je, ja, morgen is er weer een dag, maar ik heb nog niks. Totdat ik in de auto zat en mijn vrouw me opbelde. En die zei van, joh, ik heb nou een advertentie gezien en dat ben jij. Ik heb de auto omgekeerd, ik ben naar huis gereden. En dat was dus het Flevo Festival.
Ja, wat is het Flevo Festival?
Het is een festival echt bedoeld voor jongeren. En die kunnen daar eigenlijk alles doen wat ook in hun leven wel heel belangrijk is. Je praat er over lifestyle, je kunt er naar muziek luisteren, je kunt er naar cabaret, je kunt er kunst bekijken, je kunt er zoveel dingen doen. Je kunt er sporten, bedenk het maar. Alles wat in hun leven voorkomt, lifestyle, noem het maar op, alles komt daar ook voor.
Pratend over jongeren en hun lifestyle. Er zijn eigenlijk zoveel lifestyles bij jongeren dat je dat bijna niet meer in één netje kunt vangen.
We hebben verschillende terreinen gemaakt, thematerreinen. Waar iedereen die zich daarbij thuis voelt heen kan gaan.
Dus, noem eens wat.
Nou, ben jij christen en wil je geloofsverdieping, ga je naar het terrein wat daar echt geschikt voor is. Waar sprekers zijn, waar je naar kunt luisteren. Waar je echt aan de relatie met jou en God kunt bouwen. Ben je geen christen, dan hebben we er ook een stuk terrein voor. Dat heet dan God for Dummies heet dat.
Oh.
En daar kun je leren wie is God.
Ja.
Ja. En zo proberen we elke jongere op zijn niveau, op zijn manier te bereiken.
Er komen vele duizenden jongeren elk jaar op af. Laat dat zien dat er bij jongeren best wel interesse is voor geloven?
Ik denk het wel. Religie is natuurlijk sowieso heel erg in. Dus dat is iets wat heel erg in Nederland heel erg speelt. Dat kun je in alle bladen en overal kun je dat zien. Maar ik denk dat mensen.
Maar wat is religie?
Ja, wat is religie? Ja. Ja, wij gaan verder dan religie, denk ik. Ja. Ik denk dat mensen heel erg op zoek zijn naar God zelf. Ja.
En?
En dat gaan wij ze bieden. Wij gaan ze laten zien wie God is en hoe fantastisch het leven met die God is die wij kennen.
Wat drijf je nou zelf, Peter? Wat betekent het geloven in God voor jou, heel persoonlijk?
Nou, het geloven in God, dat is dat ik kan zien hoe naarmate ik me meer aan God geef, hij meer in mij kan doen. Ik heb geleerd om zeg maar te zien dat ik vraag God niet meer of hij mijn weg wil zegenen. Maar ik vraag hem of hij mij de weg wil laten zien die hij voor mij gezegend heeft.
Ja.
Ja.
Leuke benadering.
Ja, en dat gebeurt ook. Naarmate ik me meer aan God kan overgeven, en dat is ook wat ik zo graag aan iedereen wil vertellen. Naarmate ik me meer overgeef aan God, kan hij ook meer in mijn leven doen. Alles wat ik vasthoud, kan hij niet mee aan het werk.
Nee.
En pas wanneer ik het los kan laten, gaat hij ermee aan de slag.
Ja. Wij mensen zijn natuurlijk geneigd om alles vast te houden wat je hebt.
Dat klopt. En dat is in zo'n periode dat je iets afsluit ook heel moeilijk.
Ja.
Want je laat alles los wat zekerheid voor jou is geweest. Ja.
Want in die maanden dat je ermee worstelde, dat je dacht van, heb ik het nou allemaal goed begrepen? Dat is nu ruimschoots gecompenseerd, zeg je?
Dat is nu heel ruimschoots gecompenseerd, ja. Daar heb ik dubbel en dwars van God teruggekregen. Ja. Ja.
Je kijkt naar de uitzending van Hour of Power. Help je die ook bij jouw werkzaam zijn?
Ja, wat ik het mooie aan Hour of Power vind, dat is dat het zo ontzettend laagdrempelig is. Dus iedereen kan het zien en iedereen kan ernaar kijken. En het is gewoon in je eigen huiskamer. Dat vind ik zoiets moois. En dat is iets, dat geeft zoiets. Het is zo makkelijk, zeg maar, om God te ontmoeten. En ook via een tv. Ja. Dat vind ik prachtig. Ja.
Als jongeren meer informatie willen over het Flevo Festival, dan kunnen ze naar de website surfen, neem ik aan.
Dat klopt.
Als jij hem vertelt.
Dat is www.flevofestival.nl.
Ja. En als je er niet heen kunt, surfen naar God is nog makkelijker.
Dat is nog makkelijker. Ja, dat kan elke dag.
Ja. Hartelijk dank dat je hier wilde zijn. En veel succes met je festival. En wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral, waar het koor inmiddels klaar staat. Het bij velen zo geliefde koor. En dat gaat zingen in een bewerking van Johnny Carl. Het bekende Ik bouw op u, mijn schild en mijn verlosser. De melodie is ook zeer bekend. Het Finlandia van Sibelius.
my sister Carol, when she was 13 years old, was in a horrible motorcycle accident, and she lost her leg, and she nearly lost her life. It was only by the grace of God that she survived, literally. She lost more blood than you could ever imagine. She's picked up by the ambulance, she didn't have a pulse. They said the only thing that kept her conscious was the fact that she used her mind. And what she did while she was laying in the ditch bleeding to death is she just kept reciting the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And today we're looking at a passage of scripture in the 23rd Psalm, which says, the Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There may be tough times. And seriously, there are very, very tough times. There are people listening to me who've heard that they have cancer. There are people listening to me whose spouse has said they want them out of the house. There are people listening to me who have lost a son or a daughter, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister. There are people sitting in the hospital rooms today who have gone through a stroke or having some other ailments. And all of us are going through times and circumstances and situations where we feel the pain of existence. But what we have to remember is that the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is there to carry us through those valleys, to move us through those tough times, and into that beautiful, glorious splendor of his holy city. I have traveled and I have seen some incredible sights. I've had the privilege of studying a lot of the archaeological excavations and of all around the world. And in fact, my major was in ancient civilization, so I've studied most of them. I've been to the Acropolis. I've been to the islands of Crete. I've been through Israel. I've seen a lot of them. And without question, one of the most spectacular archaeological sites on planet Earth happens to be a place called Petra. Petra is located about 100 miles from Amman, Jordan. So the only way to go there is to get to Amman. There's a couple ways to get to Amman, but from there, it's a long bus ride all the way to Petra. And then you get there, and the only way to get into the actual city is actually by mule. You climb on a mule, and you go through this valley where the walls are 120 feet high. And you go through this valley where the sun does not shine. It's a constant shadow. And it's like that until you get through. And when you get through, you see that famous treasury building, which became famous thanks to Indiana Jones. You remember the movie Indiana Jones? And there's this wonderful temple. Well, that's Petra. It's an entire city carved out of the rocks. They started building them in the 6th century before Christ. It was Nabataean architecture, and they carved these incredible buildings and amphitheaters and everything you could imagine out of the rocks. So it would be as if there was if you could carve a city out of the Grand Canyon, out of the walls. But to get there, you have to go through the valley. A valley where you can't see the sky, a valley where the sun doesn't shine. And so often for us to be able to become the people that God has called us to be, we have to take the steps, we have to have the faith, we have to walk through those treacherous places. And suddenly at the end of the journey, we see the beauty and the glory and the grandeur of God's handiwork as he leads. But what's imperative is for us to walk our own walk. God has called each of us for a specific purpose and for a specific reason. It's kind of like David when he faced Goliath. Saul, the king of Israel, pulls out all of his armor. He's so thrilled that somebody's going to face this Philistine. And he puts his armor on David, and David is weighted down with this armor that doesn't fit. He says, I can't do battle like this. This isn't me. And he took it off, and he gave it back to the king, and he says, this is yours. This is your armor. This is whom God has called you to be. It's not what God has called me to be. And instead, he simply picked up a few stones and a slingshot, and he faced his Goliath. All of us go through our valleys, and it's imperative for us to be able to go through these valleys the way God has called us to go through. And every single one of us has a different path. We've been designed, created by God for a specific purpose and reason. And God wants you to be you. That's what he wants. So my prayer for you today is that you may have enough happiness to make you sweet. That you may have enough trials to make you strong. That you may have enough sorrow to make you human. That you may have enough hope to make you happy. And so as we travel through life, there are a few things we can know. First of all, we know that God will take us through the valleys. That we all have valleys we are going through. We also know that as we go through the valleys, that we have to be the person that God has called us to be. Not the person that God has called someone else to be, but the person God has called you to be. What do I mean by that? Golda Mabovich was a child attending 4th Street School, grade school, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She was raised in utter poverty, and so she wasn't hip and she wasn't cool. In fact, all the kids would have seen her just the opposite, as the geek, as the nerd, as the outcast. And that's the way she spent her life. In fact, it was so impoverished that the school administrators came to her parents' house one day and scolded them for not giving her a good lunch at school and not giving her the adequate tools she needed to be able to do her work. They were immigrants. They couldn't understand a single word that was said to them. So they just served tea and said, thank you, goodbye. And that's Golda. And when she looked in the mirror as a young child, she just saw the outcast. But God had a different plan. At the age of 70, she returned to that school. At the age of 70, she was invited to come back as an honored guest. And she stood before the group of people who had gathered there. And she addressed them. Her name was Golda Meir, Prime Minister of the State of Israel. What does God see in the least of these? What does God see when he looks into your eyes? God sees the beauty and the potential and the opportunity to be able to shape and mold a life. The Good Shepherd leads us through the valleys of life, that we might experience the bounty and the beauty that he wants for us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What is the greatest fears that we face today? I believe the fears we face is the lack of faith to keep on keeping on, to keep on striving, to trust that God will truly lead us through. It's like that old story of the guy who got a little too close to the cliff looking at the view, and he slipped and fell. As he fell, there was a branch there. He grabbed hold just at the last minute. And dangling above these jagged rocks below, he yelled out, "Is anybody up there? Hey, is anybody up there? Help!" And pretty soon he heard a voice, and he said, "I am here." "Who's there?" "It is God." "God, save me!" "Let go." "Is there anybody else up there?" And that's the way we often treat God. He leads us through these valleys, and in our fear, we're afraid to let go and allow God to do his bidding in our lives. And God says, "Let go and trust me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." And the evil we fear today is the lack of faith to put our trust in a loving God who won't lead us and dump us in the valley, but he'll carry us through the valleys. And he allows these things to happen to us to make us strong, to create compassion, to create hope, to develop love. And God carries us through the valleys to break down the barriers which keep us from experiencing the love of God and being that person that he's called us to be, to love our neighbors. So today I want you to pray a prayer with me. The prayer says this: "Oh Lord, give me the self-esteem to believe in myself, and the vision to see where you want this child to be. Then give me the faith to carry it through, and the wisdom to know I did it with you." Mary Stevenson gave us a story that has swept America, and it's a perfect illustration and a closing statement of God's love for us. A man dies and he sees his life as footprints in the sand. And he sees one set of footprints until he accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. And from that point on, he sees two sets of footprints until he comes to that point in his life where it was the darkest of days. And he didn't want to go on, and he contemplated suicide, and he wished he were dead. And at that time, suddenly there was just one set of footprints again. And when he got through that tough time, he saw the two footprints one more time, and he looked at God and he said, "Where were you when I needed you the most?" And God looked at the man and he said, "I was carrying you." So today I ask you to pray. Carry me, Lord. Carry me through these toughest, darkest days. And lead me through the valleys into that promised land you have for me. Dear God, you are good. You are gracious and you are loving. And today you are calling us to be that person that you created. You are calling us to be that person you envisioned as you created a love between a man and a woman when a child was born. And you gave me my name. And today I give my name to you. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I give my burdens to you. I give my struggles to you. I give my hope to you. I give you my all. And so take me, Lord, just as I am. And give me the faith to let go when you call. I love you, Lord. Amen. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give you the faith to follow Christ through the valleys and experience His love today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
Weet je, mensen kijken op naar leiders, naar grote namen, naar bekende figuren. Maar een schaap kijkt naar zijn herder. Die kijkt op naar zijn herder, want die weet, hij leidt me. En die herder die leidt me in goede banen. Die weet het beste voor mij te kiezen. En dat was het thema van deze uitzending van Hour of Power. En ik hoop dat dat een gedachte is waar je verder de week mee in kunt. In deze schitterende tijd, vakantietijd, is het ook heel belangrijk om niet het allerbelangrijkste te vergeten. Namelijk God die altijd met je meegaat, waarheen je ook gaat. En als je op vakantie gaat, morgen of op vakantie bent, een hele fijne vakantie op vakantietijd toegewenst. Namens iedereen van Hour of Power. Bellen en schrijven, dat kan altijd. We staan graag voor u en jou klaar. Ons adres verschijnt nu in beeld. Iedereen, een hele goede zondag toegewenst. En graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.